Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along today as we take a look at computers and computer issues with Peter Green, computer consultant with Infostar.com. He visits with us regularly to help with your computer problems. So if you have some questions, I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org, or you can post on our Facebook page as well. Sure, we want to talk about the flaws in computer chips. And Peter Green, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Always great, Larry.
What about it? Last month, we found out about these flaws in computer chips that are in pretty much every digital device.
Yep.
What's the background on this?
Well, they've given them names. One is called Meltdown. That's associated with the Intel chips. And then a couple other chip manufacturers, AMD and ARM, they call Spectre. They're basically, you can call them backdoor access to data, and it could be personal data on your system. It's once the it's exploited, it's how the computer programs on your system talk to each other.
Yeah.
So there are things that go on behind, you know, for them to interact. But the code's got to get, it's got to be exploited, and the code's got to get onto your system for that to happen. It's only recently been found, and the chip manufacturers and the operating system companies, such as Microsoft, Apple, and so forth, Google with Android, have all worked to provide patches to fix those flaws. So this is going to be an ongoing thing. So when the operating system is being updated on your system, you're being advised to accept those updates. Some of the firmware updates where you're actually interacting with a download and a firmware update to the chip itself, or the chips in the main board that talk to the CPU, those they've kind of said kind of back off on that because there have been some flakiness as related to those updates being applied. But definitely with your operating system, you know, those are the ones that are working to, you know, clamp down on the exploits that are going on.
What if they're, you know, what if they get through your computer? Let's say, what if these, if you don't get beat for the system, you know, how to beat it.
I don't know if that's happened yet.
Okay.
There are a lot of tests going on in the dark side
trying to do this. Okay.
So, you know, I'm sure we're going to hear of a success as related to that, just like we've heard of, you know, data being compromised with the large credit card companies and large retailers out there that have had issues over the past, you know, probably 5 years. There's always something that's going to be ongoing, especially related to this, because there's no control over who is applying what updates and when, and, you know, how a system could potentially be compromised and where it's positioned. It's more important for the server environment than the workstation or the personal computer. The servers are the ones that are really being looked at as being susceptible because of how they are just interacting with a lot of different systems.
So from a consumer standpoint, what do you, you know, I'm sitting at home with my computer.
The word is don't be overly concerned, but be concerned in that you should be proactive in applying the updates that are put out there by the manufacturers.
Okay.
Now, as related to the Windows 10, and I've talked about issues before, late November, early December, Microsoft was pushing out what's called a Fall Creators Update for Windows 10, and it took down systems with dual displays where that just wasn't working properly. They didn't acknowledge it, but in a latest push of their updates, that seems to have been fixed. The missing font issue that I've talked about in the past, that also not really admitted to, but again, appears to be fixed. So, and those are with the most recent updates. I'm not going to say, you know, where I've applied these that, you know, I got lucky. I'm just saying this is an observation.
Peter Green of Infostar.com, our guest today. I don't know that I gave the number, so let me do that right now. If you have a question for him about your computer, maybe about these chip flaws, or maybe just, you know, an issue that you've got with your software or your computer, join in. Number to call is 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@WPR.org or post on our Facebook page. Far as you know, on these patches for the, back to the chips for a minute, there aren't side effects or minimal, none?
Well, like I said, they kind of backed off on the firmware updates because they were seeing some flakiness as related to system performance. But as related to the operating system updates, those are, you know, things that you should be paying attention to. With Windows 10, it you can go backward if it's affecting how your system actually works, like the dual display, you know, problem that I talked about. You can revert back to the prior version of the operating system, and then seek out a remedy for it if there is one. In terms of what happened, where my observation showed late November, early December, a problem. Here we are, you know, it was late January where I applied the fix. So, you know, that's within a, you know, 6 to 8 week period. You know, I felt kind of good that it was fixed because less complaints and I can move forward. But I know there are just going to be other issues as related to that. Another interesting observation, doing some reading online and some things that I've had in place, the antivirus community in terms of the companies, there are so many companies that are out there providing solutions like Avast, AVG, McAfee, Norton, and so forth. They all have different takes on their programs and the level of, you know, features that you need. Usually you think the most expensive one is going to be the one that's going to cover everything. Always look at the features that you get for, you know, what you're paying for. The other thing is there's another take in terms of malware, and that it's almost like it's a union of two circles. There's some overlap, but there isn't. So what I'm seeing out there is that a program like Malwarebytes that deals with malware and interaction of other programs where it's trying to compromise your system. And yeah, that goes also for Trojans and viruses and worms, but there, though, that company and companies like that and antivirus companies, there's a lot of overlap, but it's a good thing to have both of them active, especially if one gets compromised. It's not good to have two security programs that are both antivirus strictly, because they can conflict with each other and potentially cause slowdown issues. But I've seen it where malware, something like Malwarebytes or that kind of program, and an antivirus, true antivirus internet security program can interact in tandem together to protect your system. The other interesting thing about this whole thing about all these antivirus programs out there is it's never 100% positive to be, you know, unless you're unplugged from the internet. So what they say is that it's an active, ongoing community, and when they get a problem and they're alerted to it, they try to push that solution back out to all their users as quickly as possible. Yeah. So as far as updates, pay attention to them.
Well, let's take some calls and some emails. Scott and Appleton up first here. Scott, hi. Thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, Larry. Thanks for taking my call. This is more of a general question. My wife and I are looking to replace and upgrade a laptop. My wife has her own business. It involves photography and graphics, and we're trying to figure out what's the best starting point. Is there like a website that can help us with so many different computers available today in terms of what we're really looking for and what's important given the changing technology? And I'll listen off the line.
Well, actually, I have some questions for you.
Oh, sure.
So when you say photography, like, you know, expand on that a little bit.
Does she take wedding photos, or is she?
No, it's photography and finished art.
Finished art. Okay.
Okay. In terms of number of pictures,
she take thousands.
Probably minimum of hundreds up to a few thousand.
Okay. Okay. And the current laptop that you're using now? How
great old? Question. It's got to be 10 years old.
Okay. All right. From a standpoint of working with pictures, video, audio, you know, I'm a Mac fan for that, those kind of applications. You're probably looking at like a MacBook Pro. I would maximize on the amount of RAM, you know, to put into a system like that. I wouldn't shy back on, you know, doing the entry level and then beefing it up later. I would start out high to begin with. Probably like 32 gigs of RAM is what I would be looking at. As far as your storage capacity, and how fast your system responds, looking at an SSD drive or a drive that is not spinning is going to provide you with the fastest interaction between your pictures and your computer.
Okay.
The more storage capacity in those, the higher the price tag, but the performance is definitely going to shock you compared to what you're using now, because the read-write speeds are very, very, very fast. For example, if you were to look at something in the Windows world, I believe a terabyte version of a drive like that is about $600 for 1 terabyte drive. And a 1 terabyte spinning drive is, I'm going to say, like $50.
Yeah.
So there's quite a difference.
Okay.
But you can, store your pictures off of the computer, you know, with an attached drive, which would also could also be used for backups. In a Mac world, though, you have to designate your backup drive for Time Machine as being just dedicated to Time Machine, and then you'd have to have another storage drive just for, you know, archiving pictures.
Separate
would have to be
else.
Separate. Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then, you know, graphics. The more memory, the more robust it's going to be for memory in terms of your video card. I would probably say at a minimum, you probably want it like 4 gigs of memory.
At least.
And those can get a little pricey. But in a MacBook Pro, I don't think you have, you might have a couple of options. I know when I looked at them a while ago that you have like maybe 2 options for the cards.
Yeah. It's worth a look,
yeah.
For sure. Thanks a lot for calling, Scott. Appreciate it. And Terry in North Lake has something for us. Before we go to Terry, though, there was a question that I wanted to get to from Andy. He says he's been has a Samsung Edge 7 and has a virus that keeps popping up ads on his home screen. It makes it look like it's coming from the Google Play Store, but he knows it's not. Running Norton virus and ads and a few other various malware remover ads have not worked. Have you heard of this, and what can you do to remove it?
I have not specifically heard of that. If it appears to keep popping up and it's happening with other browsers on your system, it sounds like it's interacting with your web stuff. One is to clean the registry. Another is to remove all the temporary internet files. So basically clear everything out. Apply the latest updates for the browser that you use. So the typical browsers that are out there now are Microsoft Edge is the latest one. There's still Internet Explorer 11, Mozilla Firefox, Google Chrome, Apple Safari. Those are probably the front runners. That's the other thing that they're also saying as far as these exploits and dealing with malware and antiviruses, make sure those programs are all up to date. But if you do get infiltrated and you're having a problem with one of them repeatedly bugging you, you could uninstall the browser that seems to be, you know, having the problem. You can also use something like a utility called CCleaner, and there are some other utilities out there that do the same thing, where you clean the registry and then clear out the internet, temporary internet files, and then reboot the system. Sometimes you may have to do it in the safe mode, so in Windows safe mode. There's so many renditions of Windows out there in terms of bringing it up in the safe mode. You should probably do some research and see how to do it for your own particular system.
Yeah.
But what safe mode does is it puts the programs in like single user mode, so they're not multi-user. So some of the hooks that are in the programs are shut down. So then when you try to do cleaning and removal, it's more likely to happen in the safe mode.
Now let's go to Terry in North Lake. Terry, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi, thank you. I am a photographer using Photoshop, and I'm finding a fair amount of conflicts affecting Photoshop with Windows 10 / Creative Cloud in particular. And also, I purchased the premium program from AVG, and that seems to be giving me problems on Photoshop as well. Any insight?
So when you say problems, like, can you describe what issues you're having?
It bogs it down and sometimes freezes Photoshop.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Have you tried running it in a... So you're using Photoshop on your computer, and you're also interacting with the cloud as well?
Well, that's another question. Can the cloud be disconnected? Or I'm not sure about the cloud, but it just seems if I do anything with trying to disconnect it, then it creates conflicts within Microsoft itself.
Okay. I've seen this work where you may want to start Photoshop in a compatibility or use the troubleshooter. If you right mouse click on the icon to start Photoshop and then click on properties, I'm not sure if it's, I do these things so many times and trying to visualize it, but you need to, or you can research it online, because I've seen it where programs in Windows 10 work fine. Then they apply this fall, they applied the creators update, and then they applied the fall creators update. I hate these names. I don't know why they name them that, but they did. Is to run it in a compatibility mode and see which version of the OS runs better. I've had to apply that solution to a program where Windows, it needed to run in Windows 8 mode in order to work properly.
Okay.
It
so
should actually
right click, go to properties.
Yeah,
where do I go from there?
There might be a tab. You'll have to pry around a little, but there's a tab or something
that
talks
about. What would the tab
say? I just know it. Once you right mouse click, look at your options, and you'll see one of them is to run it in compatibility mode, and you can pick which operating system you want to try, and it'll say, did this work properly, or do you want to revert back? But you may also want to just do a little research before you try that online. The other thing that I encourage yourself and others that are listening in, if you're having a problem with software, you know, go out there online, do a little due diligence, do some research, and see what other people are having issues with. Also, contact the software company. And because I've called software companies, I've talked to the techs, and I say, hey, have you seen this? No, we haven't. And then I call them 3 weeks later. Yeah, we're starting to see more of this. And then all of a sudden, they get interactive and send a message out to our system that says, hey, an alert, we've seen problems. You know, run it in compatibility mode. And all of a sudden, so we're working fine for weeks. And then all of a sudden, no one can log into the application. And I'm like, click, log. You know, I changed the compatibility mode, solution. So I'm saying be interactive, be you know, do your research and just don't accept that you have a problem and just live with it. But do some research online, make some calls, you know, to the software companies. Microsoft can be a pain to get through to. Adobe, I've had luck getting through to, especially accounting companies, that accounting software, you know, that they'll take your calls, but usually you end up paying for that. But
do you have a phone number for Adobe? I've searched everywhere and it just seems I can't find it.
I do not. I would probably be doing what you're doing for sure. It's been a while since I've contacted them, but there should be, if you bought their software, you should have some information on their package or packaging.
Okay.
All right. Yep. Good luck. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Peter Green of Infostar.com, our guest today. I'm Larry Mueller. Jill Nadeau, our on-air producer here on the Ideas Network. Thanks for joining us today as we take a look at personal computer issues with Peter Green of Infostar.com. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today. Join in. Open lines at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page. Now we'll go to Lydia in Mount Horeb. Lydia, hi. Thank you for calling. Lydia, oh, wait a second. Lydia, I'm going to put you on a different line here. Lydia, hi. Thank you for calling.
You're welcome. Thank you for taking the call.
Sure. What's on your mind?
Well, I have Windows 10, and I keep getting this message that they want to download something that will take more time, and I need to schedule it. I did once allow it, and it slowed my computer way down. It made my Epson scan not work at all. So I went to an earlier, you know, I recovered to an earlier time before that update. And the computer is working fine now, except I keep getting this message that they, you know, at first
they want to update.
Yeah.
Yeah, they really are pushing it, and now it's down to where they're going to do it and now, or if I want to wait an hour, they'll do it in an hour. So I finish up what I'm doing real fast and turn it off before that hour. You know, I'm not able to really use my computer fully because I keep having to turn it off so that it's not connected to the internet.
And I feel your pain. I hear your concerns and the things you're going through. What's frustrating is Microsoft's almost creating this perfect storm for the vulnerabilities that are in these chips, because people are putting off updates because they're not doing their work properly to make sure that
Microsoft
is creating these issues where people are gun shy, they're hesitant.
Who wouldn't be?
Because your system is not working properly after you apply them.
Right.
Like I said earlier, late November, early December, they applied an update. It took down a handful of systems that I supervise, and then by rolling it back, it worked properly, which is the same scenario that you went through where you rolled it back and things worked again. But recently, those updates that have been applied that are coming from Microsoft have fixed those problems. Again, even though I have not seen an admission of fault on their part, those problems have gone away. And based on what's happened with the public announcement of the discovery of these chip flaws and backdoors and vulnerability, and then they're putting the onus on the operating system manufacturers to fix this, I would recommend trying to move forward. Your option is to revert back again, but I would also contact Epson. They may have a solution. I had a problem with Apple interacting with a scanner, And it was actually Apple's software that had the problem and not the manufacturer. So Apple told me, use the manufacturer's scanning software and not our software that you're trying to use. So it's important.
Even though, I mean, my Epson scan is working fine now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But you're saying if I go ahead and allow this update.
Yep. And it doesn't work, I would contact Epson and tell, and then they'll work with you to look at your system, see where you're at with what you've applied, and then from there they'll recommend some kind of fix.
And hopefully you won't have to do that.
It may be simply updating a driver that they didn't announce publicly, but they are working on, and they may, you know, email it to you. I'm just saying it's important to communicate with them, and I'm trying to help people avert what I consider this, like, turbulence going on where all of a sudden, you know, these researchers said, hey, I discovered this flaw in the chips, and there's millions of systems out there. And now we've got an issue where Microsoft has created their own firestorm with pushing out updates that are frustrating people. But at this time, there are updates that are being pushed out that I believe for a number of users is now fixed, and you can move forward with it. I don't want to say back off and not do that because, you know, you could have worse problems moving ahead with not doing it.
Okay, so you would recommend going ahead and allowing the updates. The present update is not going to be the same one that caused me trouble a month or two ago.
Yep. And if you have problems after that with your scanner, contact Epson.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Good luck, Lydia.
Good luck. Good call.
Yeah, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And you know what? Let's take some more calls. Lemon in Fargo, North Dakota. Your turn. Hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. How are you?
Great. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Well, I have a 2009 Mac Pro.
Okay.
And I'm trying to update it, the latest one, software, but for some reason it won't let me. It says that they actually give me an error, say that you cannot, you know, update your, you know, your computer. So I just want to see what, you know, could cause that.
I think Apple has a policy. You said 2009. I think that's out of their time limit for where they allow updates to be applied to a computer system. I don't know the exact cutoff for all their different models, but you're looking at 7 to 8 years. And that
8 years, probably.
That's
8 or 9 years.
Yeah, it's a good chance that they've cut that off.
So you
could look online and research that and see if you can do it, but I mean, that's where I would start. Or you could call Apple. Apple is reachable. I've talked to them, too.
But I think you're right, Pete.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, thank you very much. I really appreciate your info.
Thanks for calling. Yeah,
they call it sunsetting it. You know, it's like, we're not going to support this anymore. They're basically saying for the time frame of your hardware, the operating system is at its maturity. They don't want to move forward anymore with it. They just feel that
they want you to buy another one.
They want you to buy another one.
Yeah.
It may perform well for what you're doing, so there's no reason why to stop using it. But at some point in time, if you want the latest and greatest, they want you to upgrade.
Rebecca in Ridge, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. I was calling because I was looking at buying a new computer, and I was looking at Dell.
Mm-hmm.
And when I looked yesterday, they showed operating systems, say Windows 10 and Windows 10 Pro,
mm-hmm.
and they were 64-bit.
Right.
And I last time I bought a computer, which is about 8-9 years ago,
yep.
32. We had a choice of a 32-bit or 64.
Yep. Yeah.
Are they just going with 64 now?
64 is where you want to be. It supports extra memory, higher capacity drives, and so forth. There are memory limits within the Windows operating system with 32-bit software. In fact, if you have mistakenly bought extra memory for your computer. And we've talked about this over the years on the show, Larry. I know we have.
Yeah.
If you bought extra memory for your computer and went above 4 gigs of RAM, but you had a 32-bit operating system, you're not using that extra memory.
Oh, okay.
So the 64 will support the extra memory. Systems I'm using today have 32, and that's all support. 32 gigs of RAM and 64-bit supports all of that memory.
Okay. The other question I had, if I could, I was looking at an optical drive, and the DVD/CD drive comes with it. I think that's a read and write.
Yep.
For $50 more, you could get the BDRE drive. Does it only do Blu-rays then?
No, it'll do other. It'll do all forms of DVD, but it needs a special. It needs to be different, special to do Blu-ray.
Do you think it's worth it? It's only $50 more to get.
Well, Blu-ray capacity is a lot higher. I believe it's like 50 gigs on a disc versus on a dual layer DVD would be like 8 or 9 gigs. It all boils down to how you use it. I mean, if you're looking at a desktop system with a big screen and, you know, that's what you're using to watch movies on and, you know, then yes. But if you're not really using it that way, I don't know. It doesn't, to me, it doesn't really, I don't know why you would want the extra Blu-ray disc unless you're actually using it.
Yep. Well, if you're going to do write backup drives, then the Blu-ray will hold so much more. You'd have to use, like, I don't know, a great many DVDs.
Sure. Yeah, you can use it that way. There are also, you know, backup drives that, you know, that are probably going to be faster for doing backups than writing them to a Blu-ray DVD. So you have that kind of trade-off. But
like a WD My Passport kind of thing?
Right.
Yep. Okay.
That might work better.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be interesting in 50 years when people have archived things on CDs and DVDs and Blu-ray discs, you know, what kind of, what that's going to
be
like. Because I know I don't even order computers with floppy drives in them or 3.5. So it used to be floppy 5.25-inch where they really flopped. Yeah. And now they're, you know, they're hard 3.5, but inside there's, you know, something flimsy. But I haven't ordered a computer with a flimsy 3.5-inch drive for a long time, and the only reason I put, you know, DVDs in, I do a little bit of work with them, but I don't really use those that much. And the software you get now, it's almost all of it's downloaded and bought online.
Yeah.
So
okay. So the WD would be a lot more usable.
Probably. Yeah. And you probably, you know, the other thing is it's faster, so you're more likely to use it. I mean, I'm not saying not to, but you could leave the DVD in your system and use backup software, and it would just, you know, back up your system however it was programmed or scheduled to do, and that would probably work just fine. It all depends on how you use your computer system. You know, what kind of work you're doing with it. If you're doing a lot of video stuff and audio or pictures or accounting or documents, you know, how much are you know, really backing up, you know, and what kind of capacities you need. So, you know, you have to factor all those things in when you make your decision.
Okay.
All right.
Hope that helps.
Yeah.
I thank you very much.
Yep, you bet.
Terry in Mass City, on to you now. Hi, Terry.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
I also had a problem with Windows 10 forced download on me here a couple weeks ago. And it was that one that downloaded but didn't completely download, and it thinks it did, and we get in that loop where it wanted to keep doing it all the time. This was build 125, I think. So I stopped the downloads, went and looked. I see the build wasn't all the way there, so I uninstalled it, manually downloaded that build, and installed it, so it's there now. But I have been afraid to go back to letting Windows download again. I've been holding off, hoping they get their act together.
Yeah.
Now, do you think they have by now with this latest build?
I do. I've been through it with a handful of systems, and it appears, and I don't want to say I'm the lucky one. I don't want to say I'm the lucky one. I want to say that it's going to work for everybody.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that I know the problems that existed that were a major headache for me and the people I work with are gone. And I'm thankful for the fact that they at least did pay some attention to it and fixed it. But again,
there's
you know,
a number of builds since then. Well, I think three of them are relevant to me.
Mm-hmm.
If I just go to the latest one,
I
can't find that manually. I would try to find it at the on the update catalog.
Mm-hmm.
It won't go to that one for me, so I might have to let it automatically do it.
Right.
Yeah.
But they won't go through all the previous builds to that one, will they? They'll just do that one?
Some of them are cumulative and some of them are just add-ons.
Yeah.
So I don't have that memorized, and they put, you know, numbers on all that stuff.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, in the meantime, I got another computer just while mine was being funky,
mm-hmm.
just so that if it does fall out on me, I can go online with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's an older Windows version, like 1511 or something.
Mm-hmm.
Can I keep it from updating, or are they going to see that eventually and force it on me? Or
eventually it'll get seen.
All right,
well, I'll try with this one. If I don't have problems here, then what about manually downloading and doing those? I did it once.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Well, then
they provide the files for doing it that way because they know sometimes that's just the way it has to be done.
Yes. All right. Well, we'll go ahead and
give it a shot.
Good luck.
Good luck. Thanks a lot for calling. Oh my goodness me, Peter.
See, Larry, the problem was created by Microsoft and at the wrong time.
Yeah, exactly the wrong time. Peter Green of Infostar.com, our guest. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network. Looking at your computer today with Peter Green of Infostar.com, Larry Mueller here. We'll go back to the phones, take some more calls. Larry in Milwaukee, it is your turn. Hi, Larry. Thank you for calling.
Oh, thank you for taking me. Great name you have there, Larry. Anyway... I run a small company, Third Coast Digitech, and what I found last week was I had four machines that went blue screen of death. Mm. Two of them I was able to recover using the generic Microsoft stuff that comes up when you reload a machine. Basically, I had good restore points on both of them. The other two, literally, there was nothing I could do but reload the whole Windows operating system on it. And from my point of view here, it was a horrible week because I spent a lot of time banging my head trying to get all this stuff back. But the one thing that I push with my company is that people do backups either with an external hard drive or, you know, get used to using the Microsoft tools that are out there to store your information, because a lot of times if your computer dies and you don't have any backup, there's not much a person can do to get it back.
Nope, there sure isn't.
No.
I was able to pop out the hard drive and put it into a disk replicator and suck the information off on two of the machines, but for the most part, it's really, really important to do your backup. The operating systems and everything else, you can replace your computer, but you can't replace your time when you lose all of your data.
Yeah.
Absolutely correct. Right on.
Yeah.
So, to me, that's the most important part of this whole thing. Microsoft, I've turned off the updates. I've done some stuff like that. I'm not trusting enough yet with it, but...
So what have you seen with the updates that they've pushed out there? Are you seeing... similar problems?
There was one that they pushed out. It was KB4056892, and it seems on the customers it was really strange, but on the customers that their machines actually went BSOD, they were actually, all of them were loading stuff off of their phones while the update was taking place, which is really highly unusual, but then their machines crashed.
Hmm.
And so Well, then you get the phone call. Hey, what do I do?
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just think backup, and more backup, and a couple of restore points really, really helps the situation.
Yeah.
Yep.
Thanks for that call. You're not finding any disagreement
not
here,
at all.
Larry.
100%.
I appreciate it very much. Thank you again for calling. Oh boy, Cheryl in Conover. Your turn. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. You know, Larry, I just love your show because every day I can look forward to new help.
Well, thank you.
I'm either listening to you while I'm driving or I'm listening to you in my office. And I have to ask this wonderful gentleman. I am a Toshiba Satellite diehard woman. I own 6 of them.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
I own every one I ever bought. The last one has Windows 8. Which I'm looking at right now, and I'm sitting in my office, and they don't make Toshiba satellites anymore.
Okay.
The workhorse of salespeople. What would you recommend? I like a computer with a small screen. I'm a computer person versus an iPad. I do have an iPhone, mm-hmm. but I'm in real estate, and I really like a computer. And the reason I bought the last Toshiba I have, which is going on 5 years old now, mm-hmm. I bought it in a smaller screen to be the happy medium between the iPad and a, 15-inch screen
right.
laptop.
Yeah.
Help me, because...
So what do you use the computer for? What kind of stuff do you
do? For your real estate work?
Yeah, for my real estate work. Mm-hmm. I use it, and I love to, I save files like pictures and mm-hmm. listings and that
sure.
type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But my kids tell me that I'm really not using a whole lot of data on
right.
the computer.
Yep.
I use it like the old-fashioned way you use a computer. I mm-hmm. save my files. They have their names.
Yep.
I use it also for internet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm real careful on the internet, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And I use it because the screen is a little bit bigger.
Sure.
Do you use it with you when you go out? Do you take it with you at all?
Technically, I do take it with me.
Uh-huh.
And it is kind of my file drawer because I uh-huh. came from the era of the old IBM ThinkPad.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so... just to give you an idea, I'm 65 this year, the other day, just turned 65. And so I've been using a laptop since we could have them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm kind of attached.
Yeah.
Well, so have you used a tablet before? Did you say you
no,
have?
No, I haven't. No,
okay.
I haven't.
Well, here's the thing. What I would recommend that you do is take a look at, there are some laptops out there that double as a tablet. There's Microsoft Surface and their Surface Pro, which have keyboards but also are tablets. And look and see how those perform. They're kind of in between in terms of size of the screen. They're bigger than your typical tablet, but they're smaller than your typical laptop. But
okay.
the resolution on the screen is great.
Okay.
The other option is looking at like an iPad Pro and adding a keyboard to it, so you can actually get a case and have a keyboard that works with it. So look and
okay.
see, based on how much you use the computer, it will become more portable and easier for you to use, taking it out with you.
Okay.
And you might actually like the resolution of the screen of the iPad Pro or the Surface Pro versus some of the laptops that you're looking at. You might be impressed where the pictures look pretty awesome.
Okay. And then the question that I have is, can I do my files? And will it have Microsoft? I mean, will it take Microsoft Word? Because I use Word for everything.
Well, you could. Here's another thing. You could use something like Google's products and do all your work while, if you want to call it in the cloud or through your Google account. And... it's with you all the time. So whether or not
okay.
you're on that system or you're traveling abroad and you don't take it with you, you still have access
okay.
to it. So
okay.
it sounds to me
okay.
like you're a computer user, but you're not where you're going crazy with doing funky things with pictures and doctoring them up and, you know, photoshopping them so it looks like you're riding a camel or a rhino on a safari for other people to see, you know, stuff like that.
But you know, you're just... I'll tell you something. Those Toshibas, I'll tell you, I used to fly around a lot. I was a medical rep before this occupation 20 years ago, and they can take slamming, banging, and whatever you can give them on an airplane. Mm-hmm. They were the workhorse.
Yeah, you could also get protective cases for those that, you know, provide pretty good protection, and the battery life is usually pretty good too.
Right, right. And mm-hmm. and if you keep them like I do, mm-hmm. you have your history forever. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. And I can't wait till Friday, Larry, when you talk about gardening stuff.
Thanks, Cheryl. Oh, man, appreciate your call. Well, there's a day brightener for you. Thank you, Cheryl. Oh, man, let's go to another call. Zach in Dubuque, Iowa, I believe, is next. Zach, hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Hi. Appreciate the call.
Peter, my question is there any benefits to buying a PC from there's a guy here in town that will build them from scratch and then also maintain them. Is there any benefits going through someone like that versus going through a mainstream store like Best Buy or something like that?
I guess if, you know, I would check references, you know, if you, you know, just see if you can talk to a couple of people he's worked with. You know, in terms of the value added, you know, take a look at the features of what, you know, you're trying to put together in a system and, you know, what's offered at Best Buy. You're probably going to be fairly close. A lot of costs have come down on, you know, computers. I don't know how much you're looking. Do you know what kind of system you're looking at purchasing?
Well, I do a little, you know, amateur wildlife photography and that kind of thing. And I like to maybe get into, like, video and video editing at some point.
Okay.
But, you know, as I was looking at desktop. I just thought that maybe, you know, having something, you know, built from scratch would be easier to go in and maybe upgrade later on down the road than, you know, taking, and maybe I'm all wrong about that, than taking, you know, something that you buy from, you know, a mainstream store and doing the same thing too.
Well,
I figured it might be easier and it might integrate better.
Mm-hmm. Well, keep in mind, most people, when they purchase a system and they talk looking for the future, you purchase something today, but you say, hey, it could be upgraded. Most of the time, I don't even know, I can't even recall a case where someone actually upgraded a CPU because you actually have to upgrade the system board because that's where the support is to talk to all the peripherals. So, you know, if you're looking at, you know, systems, they're priced all over the place in terms of, you know, $500, $1,000, $2,000, $3,000. If it's something that you want to take with you and it's portable, and you're doing a lot of work with photography, I'd seriously consider looking at some kind of MacBook. Those work really well with, you know, pictures and graphics and audio. The video stuff, then you're starting to push into like the MacBook Pro and, you know, their desktop solutions, which get kind of pricey. When you start looking at Windows 10 systems, you know, if you're looking at like i5, iCore 5s, 7s, or AMD Ryzen chips, those chips are just the chips themselves are usually somewhere in the neighborhood of, let's say, $300, $500, $700 for the chip itself, and then you build the computer around them. So then you start looking at, you know, costs of, you know, a computer being in the $1,500, $2,000 price range, but you get a lot of bang for the buck when you start spending that kind of money in a Windows 10 desktop.
Okay.
So a lot depends on, you know, how you're going to use the computer, and trying to build that future into it is you're better investing in the fastest you can afford for a CPU today, and then, you know, if you want to start with
5 years from now.
Yeah, if you want to start with 16 gigs of RAM and then expand it in a year to 32, you know, stuff like that, or increase the drive capacity. But the CPU is what's going to get you the most, you know, speed and enjoyment out of your system.
Okay.
You know, as far as like a foundation to build around.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, he quoted me, you know, just talking to him. We didn't really get into the details, but he quoted me about $900. And I'm just sick of buying computers and then having to, you know, turn around 2 or 3 years later because they're outdated and buy another one. You know, they're too expensive to keep doing that all the time. But yeah. I had a MacBook that I bought, maybe MacBook Pro, I bought back in 2010 maybe, and it finally kind of just started getting slow on me and got to the point where I can't really even use it anymore. So I'm going to try to extract some stuff off, maybe move away from Mac, but
yeah,
I don't know.
I'd say with pictures, you know, video, that kind of stuff, you probably want at least 16, maybe 32 gigs of RAM if you don't move forward with, you know, a faster processor, and you'll probably like it a lot better.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Yep, yeah, thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. By the way, Pam emailed the customer service number, the phone number for Adobe, and that came up earlier. So I'm just alerting anybody who wants to get a hold of Adobe customer service. Here is the number. It's an 800 number. It's 800-833-6687. 800-833-6687. And there you have it. Peter Green of Infostar.com, our guest today. We'll take a quick look at the news and weather, and then we will be back with him. He'll be with us right till 12:30. So stay with us. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network, taking a look at your computer today with Peter Green of Infostar.com. I'm Larry Mueller. Questions, you can join in at 800-642-1234. Email at ideas@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page. And Pete, before we go back to phones and so forth, you have a top 10 list for us, I bet. What have you got for us today? And these are great websites to go.
Yeah, I'll try to go through those quickly. And, you know, I just realized I've probably been doing this for like 20 years with the
That's
websites.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So if you go to Infostar.com, the top left, if you go to the top 10 archives and scroll down to today's date or click on current top 10, you'll find the list. So the first one is safercar.gov. And if you want to know about recalls, airbags, stuff like that, it's all there. There are like over 16 million airbags that have been repaired to date, and that was as of May of last year. Next site is 9to5Mac, so the number 9to5Mac.com. Resource covers everything about Apple and its products. Next one is called The Verge. It's a resource dedicated to how technology will affect change in our lives using massive mainstream audience through all of our digital connected devices. So that's just interesting site. Next one is, if people are looking into medical research and clinical studies, this one is called uptodate.com. Number 5 is called androidcentral.com, and that's a resource that provides news, info, reviews, and so forth, anything powered with Android operating system. This next site is called G and then Hacks, H-A-C-K-S.net. And it's a technology blog that was founded in 2005, and it's got a lot of interesting articles on it. Number 7 is a travel resource, and it's called HipMunk, H-I-P-M-U-N-K.
Wow.
And then number 8 is called StandUpToCancer.org, and it details about their initiative and mission since 2005, and just a lot of good stuff there. Number 9 is NationalGeographic.com, and it's an awesome resource of pictures about us and our planet. And number 10 is called the Daily Wise. So the, DailyWise.com. And it's resource interesting articles, covers life's challenges along with innovative gadgets to meet those challenges.
Very, very cool. And they're all on the website.
Yep. They're all listed there.
Back to the phones then, and to Roger in Tomahawk with a question. Hi, Roger.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Good, appreciate the call.
Okay, my question is, can you make a comment on the antiviruses that you can freeload down off of the internet as compared to those that you have to buy, like Webroot or Norton or something like that? One guy told me that the free downloads are sometimes as much as 6 weeks behind. That didn't make sense, so I need to get some information on that.
No, I made a comment earlier in terms of all the antivirus programs, and there are lots of them, and like AVG and Avast are owned by the same company. McAfee, Norton are other big ones. Bitdefender, you know, I've got a list of them. There's a, I think, a thing called the Big List that's out there. But anyhow, they look at the users, the customers that they support as an active online community. And if there's something reported to their system through their user base, they try to find or create a fix or update their, you know, their database for screening your system as quickly as possible and pushing those updates out. Saying something that's 6 weeks behind, I don't know where that person, you know, gets that kind of information. If you want to research that kind of topic more, if you go to a site like CNET.com or PCMag or ZDNet, those are the sites out there, even probably another site like Computer Shopper. You know, there are a lot of sites out there that put those things out there, you know, in terms of how they rank them, editor's choice and things like that. But being 6 weeks behind, you'd have a lot of problems, you know, with your users, and you wouldn't have many users after a while.
Yeah. So they're all pretty much up to date then as far as virus?
As best as they can be, because keep in mind, you've got, you know, let's say Larry and I are users here and we get infected with a virus. Well, let's say we're using, you know, company ABC, and someone in California gets infected with a virus and they're using company DEF. Well, they're in their community, we're in our community, but our virus is more robust and it affects people more quickly. And the company that we work with didn't get the fix out quick enough. So the people in California that were using, you know, their protection, you know, they're susceptible to getting infected because they don't even know about what we got infected with. So, you know, you're dealing with those kind of, you know, scenarios that, you know, again, you know, I make the statement, and you could download white papers all day long about, you know, how good antivirus protection is. And they will tell you there is no one, you know, program that is 100%, you know, protection proof. And the only way to guarantee that is to not be connected to the internet or to another network of systems.
But for the most part, even the freeware ones.
Yeah, for the most, you're better off having something free than nothing at all. I used to not have protection for the longest time, and I just gave in because it's just, it's nuts what these people are throwing out there, and it's not fun.
All right. Yeah. Good luck,
like
Roger.
I said, also using malware bytes, you know, there's this, you know, two circles and they intersect, they've got overlap, but there are things that both of them don't do that, you know, they watch out for you.
Yeah, malware bytes.
Malware bytes or something like that, you know, spy, I think it's called SpyBot or something, you know, there's just
And then
other
on the other side
is the antivirus, you know, internet security programs.
Yeah.
And then, you know, buying into the most expensive one is not necessarily what you need to do. It doesn't mean that you get the best protection. There may be features that you're buying into with the next level that has nothing to do with what you're doing.
Yeah. There you go, Roger. Thank you for calling. Buck in Sturgeon Bay, your turn. Hi, Buck.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. Question and a comment. First thing is a comment. I hope the lady that called in a bit ago, the realtor, I hope she's still listening. I'm going to make a product recommendation. I'm a plumber, and I carry a tablet with me. I carry a Samsung Tab A. It's got like a 10.1-inch screen on it. But what I do a lot of inspections for realtors, so I'm always taking pictures, emailing PDF files, responding to an email, and I do have a Bluetooth keyboard, but unless I'm typing a letter, this is just as quick and easy, and I carry it with me all the time, You don't have a hard drive. You got to wait to spin up. It's got a solid-state drive on it. It's got a mini USB port on it, so you can buy these USB flash drives that have a regular on one side and a mini on the other. And I can transfer files from my PC over to my tablet without any conversions or any websites. I mean, it's just a great product. They can take pictures with it. So just a plug for that for people who are out in the field and need reasonable computing power at their fingertips.
Yep, that's great how you're using it.
Thanks. Yep. My question is, I'm a plumber, I'm licensed. How do you find a computer person to help you? Is there credentials we should be looking for when I'm, like, I use QuickBooks, and I know someone will say I'm QuickBooks certified or whatever. How about just someone you want to work on your computer or train you or teach you something new? Are there a lot of homegrown hobbyists that learn this stuff, or is there a credential I should look for?
That's a good question. When I started doing it, they were coming out with people that did certification programs and tests and stuff, and I was like, I knew more than those people. I was like, I don't want to become certified by them. But, you know, things have changed. There are Microsoft certified technicians in different products, so you can find specialists for that. You know, in terms of, you know, supporting your system, if you're looking someone specifically for QuickBooks, some of the accounting firms have good support people for, you know, working with, you know, accounting software and handling specific questions as related to that. So, you know, that's a resource that you can look into. You know, as far as, you know, a computer shop, you know, just asking them for references, but asking the question in terms of references as related to what you do to see, you know, if there's some similarity, you know, are they happy with, you know, working with that particular vendor. So, you know, that's how I would probably go about it. But like I said, you know, in terms of certification for different products, you know, there are certified engineers, software engineers and things like that. But usually there's pretty good price tag to pay for some of that kind of help.
Thanks a lot. And Rick in Rhinelander, your turn now. Hi, Rick.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My question in regard to backup software, some years back when I got my first Seagate external hard drive, Seagate had a very easy-to-use backup software that came with it. It was a free program, and it had sort of a file interface, much like File Explorer, and you would simply click on the various files that you wanted to be backed up, and every time you'd plug the hard drive in, it would simply scan those files for new files or updated files, put those on. It was fast. It was, it was very simple to use, easy interface, and now they don't have that anymore. There's more of a complex system. It's difficult to use. Right. The Microsoft Windows 10 backup doesn't seem to, with me anyhow, accept the fact that I'm going to be plugging an external hard drive in and taking it out on a regular basis. If it's plugged in all the time, it's fine. But I really don't want to do that for obvious reasons. I want to be disconnected physically from the computer for backup. Do you have any suggestions for software that would help me with that?
I use a program called Macrium Reflect. So it's Macrium. I've talked about it in years past. It's got a lot of features to it. I don't think it's really that expensive. I think it's probably within the cost of like $50. There are free versions out there that you can, I think you can try and download a trial version of it. But what you may want to look at is there are some other manufacturers of backup devices and backup software. I think Acronis is another one. What I would recommend doing is using, you know, a couple of those names and doing searches for reviews and typing in like editor's choice and seeing, you know, what features are in all those different programs and which ones applied would apply to you, you know, maybe better than some others.
Yeah.
So that's how I would go about it. Like, so the program that I use, I support a number of users across a network, and it just makes it really easy for me to manage backups of their drives, you know, through a network-attached storage.
Well, that might be helpful for me, too, since my wife's computer is also on our, well, I mean, she's connected to the Wi-Fi system in the house. And I suppose I could just map a network in Windows 10 and do it that way, so I could back up her stuff right away there too, in the same system like you're talking about.
Right. Yes. And then the other thing to look at is whether or not you want to just do cloud backup. So if you go to my Virus Info Center, and if you scan down, I think probably it's like the bottom third of the links. I've got links to Acronis, Carbonite, Data Deposit, my Docs, MyNet, there's SkyDrive. So there's a whole bunch of online cloud backups that you can use as well. You know, so that's another option.
Yeah, the trouble is we have vast troves of video and photographs, and
yeah, that could get a little.
Oh yeah, it's slow.
You might want to keep it local.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, then that Macrium Reflect is the one you've had good luck with, and I'll look for that.
Yeah, and like I said, I would type it in, type in Macrium, type in reviews, and see what you get. You know, and it might point you to an article that compares like 5 or 10 other backup programs, and you can download a trial version and see how it works, get the hang of it, and see if you like how the interface is. Some people have a problem with the different interfaces, and how to get into a program, how to set it up and turn on and off features, and make it work the way they want. So that's an important part too.
Yeah, that's what was so nice about that old Seagate program. It had the exact same setup.
Very straightforward.
Very straightforward. Just the old file cabinet, But all right. Okay. Well, great. Well, thank you very much.
Yep.
Good
luck.
Thanks very much for calling. I was thinking about some headphone sets that were inexpensive and very good. And then the company decided to discontinue those and make a new and better version, which was twice as expensive and not as good. and radio stations across the country were buying up every possible one they could find of the old headset.
Yeah.
That's kind of goes along with what you were talking about there.
Yep, and you still have them.
I still have them. Kyle in Reedsburg. It's your turn. Hi, Kyle.
Hello.
What can we do for you?
So I do Twitch streaming, YouTube video creation, and lots of music production. My laptop, I currently have HP something or other, a bunch of numbers. I'm not cutting it anymore. I just want to know what I would need to get in a laptop that's going to be good for what I'm trying to do.
So what do you do with streaming music?
Twitch. It's like video streaming.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You use broadcast software. And
what kind of internet connection do you have?
I got 100 megabytes upload, and it's around like 70.
Okay.
Or other way around.
All right. I would say anything that, that's got probably, I would say max out on the RAM.
Yeah.
If you're doing a lot of work like that or a lot of use like that, 16 is the minimum, but 32
would be better.
It's just gonna, your system's just gonna respond a lot better. As far as the hard drive, if you look at some of these, are you looking at a desktop or a laptop?
I'd need it to be a laptop.
Okay. Depends on the manufacturer. I've seen them where they put in two hard drives. One would be an SSD and the other would be spinning. But I would probably look at, a high-capacity solid-state drive to give you the best performance.
Okay.
And then as far as CPU, that's where in a laptop they get kind of hot. See, in a desktop, if you look at, what gamers like to use, they use, the AMD Ryzen 1700 and above chip, and you got, fans and radiators on them and stuff like that because of the heat. So you'll have to do some research in terms of, the CPU for a laptop. And with all that said and done, you might want to take a look at, a Windows laptop that's got that kind of configuration with 30 maxed out on the memory, 32 gigs of RAM, what kind of video card is in there. That'll probably help a little bit, but not so important with the streaming music, and an SSD drive versus, you know, a MacBook or a MacBook Pro configured with, you know, similar hardware. When you look at the MacBook Pro, then that's where you start getting to the high-end CPUs for portability, and that's also, you know, the reason why the costs go up. So
right.
Here you go. And then the other thing you have to factor in is how much do you have to invest in it? You know, that's so you start weighing those things, price for features and manufacturer, Apple versus Acer, HP, you know, IBM, Leveno, you know, they're all going to have different, you know, things for you to take a look at and cost Dell, you know, with all those options.
Yeah, there you go. Good luck. Thanks very much for calling. And Chris in Watertown, your turn. Hi, Chris.
Hi there. I have been considering getting a tablet, but the tablets seem to be, a lot of them, just be regular computers, and I'm looking for a tablet that is specifically geared toward reading books, and, you know, like getting free books from Congress, the Library of Congress, and different places, and also have the ability to do audiobooks. Do you have any recommendations for that kind of tablet? And also, considering I have dollar store glasses, someone who might be visually impaired.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you, my brother reads a lot of books. And he doesn't have the best eyesight. I think he's got the worst sight of all the kids in the family. But he uses a Kindle, and he's been using it for years. And he goes through books like candy, probably even faster than candy. But
does the Kindle allow for audiobooks?
I think there are different versions of the Kindle, and I know that Amazon promotes audiobooks as well.
Okay, so they've got a...
Yeah, I would take a look at some of the different Kindle offerings that are out there, and those are dedicated to readers. So, you know, I'm sure you're not alone in what you're looking for, and I just know my brother, like I said, he goes through them like candy, you know, like 300-500-page books in like 2-3 days. I just...
Amazing.
He reminds me of Spencer on Criminal Minds with how fast he reads.
There we go. So there you have it. Good luck.
He's had a prism and a lens for his eyesight because he's got a diabetic condition. So he's got some visual impairment. So,
yeah, there we go. There you go, Chris. Thank you so much for calling. And Pete, here we are out of time. You're going to be back. Yeah, you're going to be back April 2nd, and we will do this all over again.
Yep, we sure will.
Thanks, Pete. Peter Green is a computer consultant with Infostar.com, visits with us pretty regularly to help with your personal computer problems. Taking a look tomorrow at this time, we'll be talking to the author of a new book that looks at love and how it can affect human happiness. It's at 11:45. We'll be taking a look at eyeglassware and talk about reading comfortably as we age. Stay with us.